Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you, Father, more personally, so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on the subject. We must know and understand the reality of God's word and the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of God's word and the six principles of obtaining strong faith. So if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse number 6. Follow along as I read. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. Now, in this particular verse, I believe there are three truths that we need to consider. Truth number one, it tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it is faith that pleases our Heavenly Father. It is not prayer. It is not worship. It is not fellowship. And those three subjects are important. But the scripture tells us it is faith that pleases our Heavenly Father. Truth number two, God is a living person. We have to know that He is the only true and living God. Amen. And truth number three, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Amen. So one must have an earnest pursuit for the things of God. Amen. Now, we are currently teaching on principle number six. And that principle is, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. But before we get into our teaching for today, let's have a quick review of the other five principles, because we always have new people coming in on the radio broadcast, and we want them to kind of be up to speed to where we are. So the five principles are, number one, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the Word of God. Principle number two, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of our redemption in Christ. Principle number three, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the new creation. Principle number four, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of your righteousness in Christ. And principle number five, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. Once again, we must know and understand the reality of the indwelling spirit. And principle number six, the one we are currently teaching on, we must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. Those are the six principles that we are teaching on. And so I just want to make sure that everybody's up to speed until where we are. Now, you must understand that authority is of no value unless you act on that authority. It is of no value unless you act on that authority. You can have the keys to the kingdom, but if you do not open the door, you will not be able to use that authority. You have to open the door in order to get into the kingdom, in order to be able to use the authority. You have to open the door. The church has this authority, but it hasn't known it. They have been satisfied to feed on the fruits of emotionalism and traditionalism. Amen. Please turn to your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 9 through 11. So Philippians 2, 9 and 11. Beginning with verse number 9. It says, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. So God here has gave Jesus the name and has put that name over every name. Verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This means that Jesus has authority in three worlds. He has authority in the earth, in heaven, and in hell. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming, family. Please do not be deceived. But you can start confessing him now. You don't have to wait to that day. You can receive Christ as your Savior and begin to confess him now on your own terms, Or you can wait, like so many others have, and wait until the angels put their feet on your neck and make you confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Because that is exactly what is going to happen if you don't. Amen. The scripture says that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Now, you are either going to do it willingly or unwillingly, but you are going to do it whether you like it or not. Amen. The name has authority in the heavens. It has authority in the earth. It has authority under the earth. And under the earth is the heart of the earth, where the departed spirits of the wicked dead go, down to what is called Hades. Remember, Jesus went down there and used that name and snatched the keys from Satan. Those were the keys to the gate of hell, to death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Then he proclaimed that all power in heaven and earth is in my hands. Jesus has the keys. Thank you, Father. That name is above every name. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Okay, so we're there at Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to begin reading from verse 1 through 4. And it says, God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets. Now, let's stop for a minute. We see that that's an Old Testament dispensation. So the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Hosea, and all those men were spoken through the word of God. Verse number 2. And in these last days, spoken to us by his son, whom he had appointed heirs of all things, and through whom he made the world. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of himself, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Verse 4. He was made so much better than the angels that he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now that more excellent name is at our disposal. Amen. Praise the Lord. That name has authority over all the powers of Satan, darkness, demons, poverty, sickness, degradation, and any other negative that you can name. Hallelujah. Remember the healing of the lame man, lame from his mother's womb. We read where Peter used the authority of the name of Jesus. We have that same authority. Remember what Jesus said. He says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Amen. So God gave us the authority to do the same works and even greater by using the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. And we have to understand that authority. We understand that we have it. Now notice Peter said it was faith in the name of Jesus, that made that man whole. Peter did not say it was my power that made this man whole. Peter did not say it was my authority that made this man whole. He didn't say it was because he had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He didn't say it was because he knew something that nobody else knew. He said it was simply the name, in the name of Jesus the Christ. If you don't have faith in the name, it will not work for you. Peter said, is faith in that name? Peter took that faith and used that name, and the man was healed. Thank God the name of Jesus will make men whole in their spirits, in their souls, and in their bodies. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn them to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Again, that's Acts chapter 16. And let's take a look at another situation where the name of Jesus was used. So if you have found Acts 16, let's begin at verse number 16 through 18. And it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of deviation met us, who brought her masters much profit from fortune telling." So we have a slave girl here who was a fortune teller. And she apparently made good money by telling fortunes. Verse 17. "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Verse 18. "And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." So Paul used the authority given him, and he called out the spirit of deviation. And we have that same authority. Amen. We have that same authority that Paul used. But sometimes there can be a price that we have to pay for standing up for truth, the word of God. The masters of the slave girl realized that their means of income was taken away from them. They attacked Paul, they seized him, and they falsely put him in jail. Amen. You must have the authority before you can use the name of Jesus. You just cannot go out there nilly-willy and attempt to use the name of Jesus. Even the spirits know the authority that's in the name of Jesus. Let me repeat that. Even the spirits know the authority that's in the name of Jesus. If you have not been born again, let me repeat that. If you have not been born again, you better be very careful about what you do with the name of Jesus, because you can get yourself into a whole lot of trouble. Now, let's see what happens to you if you fool around with the name of Jesus in an unworthy manner. Amen. Let's see another situation in the Bible. If you are not a Christian, if you do not have the authority to use it, let's see what happens. So if you are there at Acts, please go to Acts 19. Acts chapter 19. And we're going to look at verses 13 through 16. Amen. Acts 19, beginning with verse 13 to 16. And it says, "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call out the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches.'" They were going to use the name of Jesus because they heard Paul use it. Amen. Verse 14. "Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?'" So they asked him, "Who are you using the name of Jesus?" They did not have the authority to use the name of Jesus. So these spirits confronted them, asking them, "Who are you? Who are you using this name of the God Most High?" Then the men in whom the spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Because they did not have the authority to use the name of Jesus, That man who had the Spirit in him was overcome. And those seven men got beat up, they got stripped naked, and ran out of the city because they attempted to use the name of Jesus. They had no authority to use the name. They heard Paul do it, and they said they were going to call this demon out of this man. We know, they said, we know this old guy that lives down the road, you know, on the other side of the tracks. And so we going down there and cast that demon out of him. They thought they had the authority. We have a new method. We have the one that Paul used, so we're going to use it. They ran in there and said, hands up, all right, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. The Jesus whom Paul preaches, not whom we preach, but whom Paul preaches. Come out of this man. That spirit looked at them. He stopped them from talking. And Paul said, and they said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who the hell are you trying to use this name? Your name is not on the A-list. And that spirit, he began whipping their heads. They did not have the authority to use the name of Jesus. We thank God for the name of Jesus. That name is above every name. The fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the Lion of Judah, the Alpha and the Omega. The name is Jesus. Now let's go to the Old Testament and notice a prophecy given by Jacob to his sons, who was also known as Israel. Let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49, verse number 10. And it says, the scepter or the kingsley or the kinley shall now depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Well, thank God that Jesus came 2,000 years ago in the name of Shiloh, came, and when he went to the cross, he handed to the church, us, the authority to use his name. So we have the authority given to us 2,000 years ago by Jesus. He's already been here. We have the use of his name. We have all the credit cards rolled up in one. So we have the MasterCard, the Visa card, the Diner card. We have all those cards rolled up in one. And it is the name of Jesus. And it will supply all our needs. And it will defeat every adversary. Amen. When Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven, he said in Mark 16, go there, please. Mark chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 17 through 18. And he said this, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. There's that name, Jesus, again. It says, in my name. They, well, who is they? They who are believers. He says, they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues or new languages. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. So we see here that, hey, we have the authority to use the name of Jesus. We are going to do these things in the name of Jesus. Do you know that name? Do you know the authority that's in the name and that you have to use that name with the authority? If you don't, or if you have not been living in that authority, then you have been living below your privileges. You are saying you are staying in the basement rather than the penthouse. If you are a born-again Christian, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you have the right to use the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be deceived by the enemy and your religious traditions. But don't blame God for that. And don't say you are suffering for the Lord to bring glory to him, because you would be lying. God has given you the authority to use the name to break the powers of Satan over your life. Praise God. Amen. That we have that authority, and it's been given to us, and we have the authority right now. Principle number 6, you must know and understand the reality of the authority of the name of Jesus. You must know it, family, and most importantly, you must understand it. We have the authority to use that name of Jesus Christ. If you master and apply these 6 principles that I have been teaching you, you will definitely be on the process or the road to possessing strong faith. Now, this concludes this teaching of mine on you must know and understand the authority of the Word of God. But until then, please then remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.